John 5:31 to 47. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently, because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say?
Give to Elliot. Morning, everyone. I'm wondering, who is your guru? Who is it you're actually listening to in life? Who is the one bringing you out of darkness into the light? Because that's what it means to be a guru. It's a remover of darkness. And anyone or anything that helps you remove the layers of ignorance from your mind about any topic or anything is a type of guru. Now, of course, your first gurus were your parents, who taught you so much of how to understand life and yourself. And then came your school teachers and sports coaches and other family members and eventually friends when you found some who had some wisdom about 15 minutes ago. Then at that point, they became your gurus as well. Over time, we peel away from parents and we find gurus in all sorts of arenas. There are work gurus. There are relationship gurus. It's more likely that you would call them a mentor or a coach or a counselor or a psychologist. And some of them you meet with individually for help, and some of them you're invited into their life via podcasts or books or Twitter feeds or LinkedIn or some other social media, and you follow them, and you trust them, and you listen to them, and you obey them, because you think that by them you will be able to do life better, even do life well by listening to your gurus. A traditional media, of course, still has a part to play, and some people still listen to Ben Fordham and Ray Hadley. Some people still read The Herald. Some people still read The Australian. I understand some people still read The Telegraph, but not in St Ives. That's the way it works. But then social media, so much better for shaping your life, and here's why. Social media is great. For the way the platforms work is they watch you. They see who you engage with, what topics you engage with. They helpfully suggest other people with the same message who think like you. And so Meta and Twitter help you create your own echo chamber in which you can sit and you can have the darkness removed from your mind. And it is created in your own image and it's available 24/7. Now, can I say, if this is all bamboozling to you and you just struggle to get out of bed and get to work and you're wondering where people have all this time for podcasts and Twitter and Ray Hadley, don't worry. You still have gurus. The people around you are your gurus. The music you listen to when you have a moment in the car is your guru. And be assured that if none of that is your jam, the most incredible thing is, in this day and age, you can be your own guru. You just make up whatever you think is going to work in life. And that's the way you're going to get out of the darkness. Friends, we are all being shaped and influenced by something or someone or several things all at the same time. But only one thing is best. And I wonder if even among this crowd, I wonder if even among the self-selecting church attending here or online crowd, I wonder if the, what are you talking about, Nigel, Jesus is my guru crowd, whether Jesus is actually the one who you're listening to least. So here's the thing I want you to see and consider today. Jesus is better than your gurus. Why? Because what this passage tells us is that Jesus actually does offer life, real life, authentic life, actual life, real eternal life. So let's get our Bibles open. We're in John chapter 5. We're going to be all through from verse 21 to 47. And let's see this life that Jesus has in store for you. Now remember here, he's responding to the Pharisees who don't believe in him. They're in outright opposition to him. And they've now got a desire to kill him. And in the face of this, it's almost like when we get to verse 21, Jesus gives a short TED talk. And here he goes explaining who he is, what he's doing, why they're wrong about him. And in the middle of it all, he says on repeated occasions, I have come to give you life, actual life, real life, eternal life, good life. Starting in verse 21, look at what Jesus has to say. Verse 21, he says, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Further down, verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. And again in verse 40, when he's speaking to the Pharisees about their refusal to come to him, the reason they need to come to him is because it's in Jesus that there is life. And then, so he's the one who chooses. He is the one who calls us to himself. He is the one who wants us to come to him so that we might receive life. What is this life? Well, in the very first instance, he's definitely talking about eternal life. Life beyond death. Verse 25, the dead will live again, Jesus says. And that is an incredible statement and promise that there is a life to be lived beyond what you can see. And if we had a draw from other things John has written and Jesus has told him, we know that this life to come is far from just a carbon copy of the now, but this is life in all its fullness and all its glory, where we're told in Revelation 21 and verse 4, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. What Jesus is offering you and calling you to is a life where we will rejoice in bodies that bear no suffering and live in the light of his glory forever. Jesus' promise is that beyond what you can see is a life of eternal joy, and by being chosen by him, as you hear him and come to him and trust in him, it's yours. That's his offer to you here. Other gurus might tell you how to live life well till death, but Jesus offers you life beyond death. And yet that's not all Jesus is about. It's not just pie in the sky when you die. For when you come to Jesus, when you accept Jesus, when you believe in Jesus, he equips you for life now. And as you listen to him, he will tell you how life is lived now at its best. But that's not all. He's not going to give you a book and say, good luck, follow the book. No, Jesus is going to empower you to live that life as you come to him by the power of the Spirit. And so as you come to him and believe in him, his Spirit enters you to help you, to guide you into all truth. And so Jesus is better than your guru because he does not leave you with life to the full, to the whims of your will. He doesn't say, live this life and good luck, I'm getting back in my Learjet now and I'm heading back to America and my mansion and my money and my things. No, Jesus says, I am coming into you in the power of the Spirit. And I'm going to convict you and lead you away from sin and into the life I've given you. And by the Spirit, he gives you his word book as a guidebook for life, that you will know his will, his good and pleasing and perfect will, so you can walk with him in awe and humility before him, knowing that he is working in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And the most beautiful thing about Jesus is this. You don't have to give anything to access him. You don't buy a conference ticket. You don't buy a book. You don't listen to a podcast. You don't purchase a Spotify subscription. There is no ads and no waiting. And you don't give anything because he's already given it all. His life, so that you'll have access to life and life to the full. And whoever believes him may have this life in him. He's given everything for you. You know, Jordan Peterson, one of the gurus, he's worth $10 million. Tony Robbins, also one of the gurus, he's worth $700 million. Kanye West, also one of the gurus, he's only worth $1.8 billion. But Jesus, though in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Though he was the Son of God, the judge of all the living and the dead, the one who actually rules over all at the behest of the Father, he made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant, being found in appearance as a man, and he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. Jesus is entirely other person-centered, serving his Father. He says in verse 30 in chapter 5, I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me, and in so doing is serving you by his death. To forgive your sins and to make you clean, to reconcile you to God, to make you whole and to give you life and life to the full. And I wonder if that sounds better than what your guru is offering. Jesus removes the darkness completely and he continues to work for your good. And I have no doubt your guru is offering their best, but I tell you this, Jesus is best. Well, it would be right for you to ask, how can we know? What are Jesus' credentials? I can't see Jesus. So what has he done? Who is he that you should trust him more than anyone else? Well, what are Jesus' credentials? I think there are four he sets out in this passage. In verse 19, he's given all authority by God. In verse 20, he is loved by the God of the universe and treasured by him. And verse 22 and 23, he's honored alongside God. He bears the same honor and glory as God. In verse 24, he's actually sent by God to do this task in the image of God and with the glory of God. Now, you might say that's just Jesus telling us stuff and claiming his own authority. And doesn't he say later in the passage, I don't claim my own authority? But Jesus already knows what you're thinking, and look what he says in verse 31. It says, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. But there is another who testifies in my favor. And I know that his testimony about me is true. And in the first instance, he's talking about a prophet, John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for Jesus and to announce his coming as the Son of God and the King of the world. But then Jesus says in verse 36, I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. See, the miracles Jesus does testify to the fact that he has God's authority, that he brings God's love into the world and that he should be honored and listened to and followed, that he was sent for this purpose. But that's not all. In verse 37, it says, God has spoken about Jesus in advance through his word that you might be able to compare what he said about his son with who Jesus really is and then know Jesus and all the more. So his authenticity, his credibility, his credentials are vested entirely in the one who is Lord. You want to know whether Jesus is worth following? You see, his credentials are vested entirely in the one who is creator and God over all, and there is nothing greater than that. So is Jesus more awesome than your guru? Yes. Jesus removes the darkness completely, and he's come from the creator of the universe to do so completely. He comes with all authority, the authority of the owner and creator of the world. And no doubt your guru is offering their best, but Jesus is best. Now, it's not that everything a guru says is bad. Indeed, let me say, your guru will be doing their best, and not all that all the world's gurus say is bad. There's plenty of wisdom that is discoverable in the world, and many things that gurus teach that will help you, that will remove the darkness from you. Let me tell you something that I learned in the last couple of weeks when Daniel C. came to visit us. When Daniel C. came, he spent some time with the staff. I read his book. And one of the things he says, if you want to spend less time attached to your phone, you want to spend less time stimulated by all that the phone has to offer, if you want to engage more with the real world and less with the world mediated through everyone else's eyes, you want to engage more with the world that God's created and less with the world that's been curated in front of you, turn your phone to black and white mode. I did that. Playing Wordle is very frustrating in black and white mode, I tell you. But I also tell you this, the world is so much more beautiful now. There's a little piece of wisdom there. I'm more enthralled with the world that I'm in than the world that someone else is in, simply by just changing the colours on my phone. That's a good piece of wisdom. So my point here is not to say that others are incapable of sharing wisdom and truth, but it is to say that if you're going to find life and do life well, Jesus must be your foundation and the lens through which all other thinking is passed. So that if something is not congruent with Jesus, it's not congruent with life. For Jesus is the filter through which all other information about the world must pass. And if Jesus says no, then his wisdom must prevail. For as John says elsewhere, the true light that gives light to everything and everyone has come into the world, and that light's name is Jesus. And to be led by any other light is to be led astray. And so we come now to the problem with the religious leaders in Jesus' day. They had God's word, but they refused to come to Jesus and followed their own leaders and their own hearts and their own ways and their own assumptions about God. They were not God's plans for them at all. And so this is what Jesus says about them in verse 37. He says, "The Father who sent me has testified concerning me, but you have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Again, verse 43, "I've come in my Father's name and you do not accept me, but if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him." They studied the scriptures, they looked for rules, they made up more rules and thought that in the obedience of rules that they might find eternal life, and more teachers came along and said to them, "Hey, we'll give you more rules and here's more rules," and away we go with more and more rules. And they thought that by following all those rules they might find eternal life, but Jesus says these scriptures, this word, this Bible, this testifies to and leads you to me. And you need to come to me if you want to find eternal life. But that's the one thing they will not do. Indeed, they're led by the light of their own thinking about God. And so Jesus underlines a reality here, and it's that in the scriptures you meet him. In the scriptures you meet Jesus, but those who read them with their own agenda will only find what they're looking for. It's in the scriptures that you meet Jesus and can listen to what he has to say. It's here that he is found. It's from here that his influence flows. It's from here that he speaks and guides us into all truth. And we look at these Pharisees and we say, what fools they are. They've got the whole Bible. They're not listening. What fools they are. And of course, what greater fool a person might be to say that they do follow Jesus, but then to only rarely ever come to meet him in the scriptures. What greater fool such a person would be. For it's only in the scriptures that we might meet and learn from and grow in Jesus by the power of the Spirit who inspired them and enables us to hear them by faith. And so, friends, now my question to you. We're all being shaped and influenced by something or someone or several things all at the same time. So, who or what is really having primary influence over your life? Who are you listening to? Who are you following? Who are you seeing? Who are you believing? Who are you clinging to? Whose words and ways are actually guiding your words and ways? Now, my guess is that many of you have been sitting there this morning thinking, I'm not even sure what this mad preacher is on about. But you're probably saying to yourself, I follow Jesus. So please let this mad preacher ask you one more question. Is if this mad preacher was to watch your life this week, would he actually find any evidence of that? That you follow Jesus? Would he actually find any evidence that what you might say is your lived reality? Or are you just going through the motions, clinging to what you learnt in Sunday school and a Sunday sermon, and treating Jesus more like the uncle who lives in Copenhagen who you sort of half maybe know? Now, Jesus says to the Pharisees quite cuttingly in verse 42, he says, I know you, and I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. And so this morning, let me ask you, what is truly in your heart? What's guiding you? What's shaping you? What words and ways are determining your words and ways? This is the encouragement towards regular engagement with God in his word sermon. This is the sort of sermon we all need from time to time to keep getting our priorities straight. But what many of us have, I think, is a heart issue. It is that our hearts are too often being led to anything but Jesus. And you don't solve a heart issue by simply thinking, right, this week I'm going to open the Bible and read it four times somehow. Oh, maybe I'll listen to it in the car. You don't actually solve a heart issue by doing. I think you solve a heart issue by being honest and asking yourself, what holds you back? Why is it that you'll listen to any other guru but not listen to Jesus? Why is it that you'll listen to all sorts of things and put it all together in a big smorgasbord but not filter everything through Jesus? What's holding you back? You actually need to consider those things and address those things if you want to learn to engage with Jesus more fully in his word, in the power of his spirit. Because what we've seen today is how awesome Jesus is. He has a life for you that is far more beautiful and wonderful than the life any guru can construct for you. He has a place he wants to take you that is far better than any place any guru might be able to instruct you, and I want to encourage you to treasure that. And treasure that life. And let that future that Jesus has for you shape your heart and mind. And as it does, ask yourself, what's holding me back from engaging with this? Being led towards this? Being led towards Christ in the power of his word, in the power of his spirit? I want to encourage you to work that out. You might have an honest discussion in your growth group this week. Right. Hand up all the people who opened the Bible once this week, and everyone who came to church goes like this. Okay, hand up all the people who opened their Bible twice this week, and the person who prepared the growth group material goes like this. Hand up everyone who opened their Bible four times this week, and everyone looks around and goes, there's a few. But is it you? Why not have an honest conversation about what's holding you back? And then work through those things with a vision of Jesus before you and the life he offers, and see if you can connect the dots. For nothing is better for your heart. Nothing is better for your soul. Nothing is better for your life. Nothing is better for your all than that you bring yourself regularly and humbly under the influence of Jesus. I have no doubt you are bringing yourself regularly and humbly under the influence of many things. But is Jesus your number one? Because, friends, Jesus is best. How about we pray? Our great God and Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for the Lord Jesus, and that we can know him, meet him, be inspired by him, walk with him as we read the scriptures. Lord God, help us to be honest with ourselves. There are so many voices and things that influence us, but are we really being influenced towards life? Lord God, hear our prayer that we may be honest with ourselves and overcome the things that hold us back, that we may listen to you, follow you, that we may see and believe. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.